message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem, dear friends. This is your radio pastor, Paul Ver. I trust that today you will know the fullness of peace with God and His peace within your hearts. Is there any one nation above all other nations in which Almighty God is interested? The Word of God indicates that there is such a nation. Psalm 135 and verse 4 says, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure." Nowhere do we read of Jehovah being the God of the Romans or the Greeks. No mention is made of him as being the God of the Anglo-Saxon or the Germanic races. Our text identifies Israel as being God's peculiar treasure. The word peculiar means special or unique. Jehovah is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God that has a special interest and focus with his covenant people, Israel. The Tanakh, or the Old Testament, is the account of God's relationship with Israel. Of course, he is concerned about other nations, for he tells us in his word that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. The Brit Kadashah, or New Testament writer, the Apostle Paul, informs us that there is no power but of God, and that the powers that be are ordained of God. In another passage, he encourages believers to pray for kings and for all who are in authority. In these moments, I want to show you from God's prophetic word how God deals with his people Israel in ways that differ from his dealings with other nations. This uniqueness is emphasized by the psalmist who wrote, "He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them." In another passage, the great King David wrote, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." I want you to consider three sets of prophecies relating to the nation of Israel. We shall look briefly at one set of prophecies that have already been fulfilled. A second group of prophecies are in the process of being fulfilled. And then I want you to notice some prophecies that await fulfillment. God knows the end from the beginning. Through his prophet Isaiah, he declared, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me," declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." The Brit Kadashah tells us the very same thing. "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." God not only foresaw, but foretold his actions long before our time. To Abraham, God said, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Here we have the divine prediction of Israel's enslavement in Egypt for 400 years. During those years of subservience, they would be greatly afflicted. Here, too, are words outlining God's judgment upon those same Egyptians and Israel's ultimate release with great substance. This account of Israel's bondage in Egypt and their ultimate release was given to Abraham some 200 years before Abraham's grandson, Jacob, and his family migrated to the land of Egypt. Israel's deliverance from Egypt is celebrated yearly in the Jewish festival of Passover. The Seder is an annual reminder of the fulfillment of this promise to Abraham. The great lawgiver, Moses, in his closing remarks prior to his death, warned Israel of God's judgment if they failed to obey. Part of that judgment is still in evidence today. "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life." Throughout the Old Testament, there are prophecies concerning the first advent of Messiah, all of which have been fulfilled. There are too many to refer to them in their entirety, but let me name just a few. Prior to his death, Jacob spoke of the coming of a prince from the tribe of Judah, even Shiloh, before whom the nations of the earth would bow. Ancient Jewish scholars saw in Jacob's words a prophecy of Messiah. The place of Messiah's birth is identified by Micah as Bethlehem. Isaiah foretells the uniqueness of his virgin birth. Both the psalmist David and the prophet Isaiah speak of Messiah's atoning death and resurrection. Isaiah especially gives us a perfect account as to how Messiah would be received, and his soul made an offering for sin, and how he would be buried and rise again. It is noteworthy that the very day Messiah died for our sins, according to prophetic Jewish scriptures, some 33 prophecies were fulfilled. Now consider with me some prophecies made thousands of years ago about Israel, but which we have seen come to pass within the last 50 years. The first of these deals with the actual return of Israel to the land on May the 14th, 1948, a miracle that shows the evidence of God's intervention. Jeremiah writes, "For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Jeremiah also spoke about how Jews from all round the world would move to Israel. Today, well over 5 million Jewish people now reside in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, fulfilling the words of Jeremiah, "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger, and I will bring them again unto this place." Until the Jews began to work the land that God had restored to them, it was a place of desert, wilderness, and even malarial swamp. Today, many of these places yield fruit and vegetables enough for domestic consumption and even for export. There are a number of prophecies dealing with Israel's future. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of a time for Israel known as Jacob's trouble, a time of unprecedented horror and heartache, but out of which Messiah would deliver them. Other scriptures speak of this as taking place during what is spoken of as the Great Tribulation. Messiah's deliverance of Israel would result in her enjoying peace and safety within her borders, and of her being a blessing to the rest of the nations of the earth. The record of fulfilled prophecies give us assurance of the accuracy of the prophecies still to be fulfilled. Ladies and gentlemen, Mashiach is coming again. Orthodox Jews look forward to the coming of Mashiach ben David to reign on earth, and this is good, but they do not accept or recognize the first coming of Mashiach when he died for the sins of men, even though the prophet Isaiah foretells this. Preparation for Mashiach's second coming involves a turning in repentance and faith to Yeshua HaMashiach, accepting him not only as Messiah, but as Savior and Lord. My dear friends, I urge you to turn to him today. Shalom. May the Almighty speak clearly to your heart and bring you to peace in Yeshua. Amen. And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.